Thank you.
Blog Talk Radio.
I actually just got a haircut, and I didn't totally kind of do what I should this morning, but we're going to go with this, and when I, after the show, I will do a little more with it. But thank you, thank you, thank you. Glad to have you on the show. Today is really going to be a bit of an open mind. Want to make sure that we all get a chance to have some input today. So next week, on next week's show, we're going to have Chris Gardner of the Houston Round Ball Review. He's going to be on talking all things basketball. We'll do a little bit of that. And possibly Nate Griffin from Fox 26. That's going to be on next week's show. And I will remind you, but next week's show is going to be on Wednesday because I have a board meeting on Thursday, so next week's show is going to be on Wednesday. I will send updates throughout the week so that you will know and so that you can make sure that you're here. Be sure and share the video with your friends and with your social media family. I would really appreciate that. That is how we grow the Chalk Talk tribe and community. So what is on your mind? Heaven's Angel, what's on your mind today? I know that tonight the Houston Texans will go for their fifth straight game. They have won four in a row. They play host tonight to the Miami Dolphins at NRG Stadium. It's a Thursday night game. And I'm just trying to make sure I don't miss any updates from the Texans while we are actually here talking. And how good is this Texans team, right? How good is this Texans team? And what do you think about Deshaun Watson? What did you think about him having to take a different mode of transportation last week because he had that issue with his lung, he couldn't fly, so they had a special, bus to take him there. Not like a Greyhound bus, but a chartered bus to take him there so he could arrive safely. That's a lot. That's a lot for if not that anyone has ever really doubted his commitment and his desire to win and all that kind of great stuff about him. But that is, I forgot I had that television on behind me. It speaks to his tenacity and to his commitment to the game and to his craft. Do you think it was the right thing for the Texans to do? Should they have said, if that's the case, we should give you a week off because we want to make sure that you're really fully healthy? I just would like to know your thoughts about that. It's been interesting to hear what people have said about that throughout the week. And so this week is a short week with not as much rest, right? Just because it is, it's a Thursday night game. So they got back on Sunday evening. They had to practice Monday, go through the film from last week and try to put in a game plan and go on Tuesday. Yesterday, Wednesday was a walkthrough. So not a lot of time to practice and not a lot of time for your body to heal and recover, right? Just trying to see what the update is. So for the Texans, as of Wednesday, here is the injury report as of yesterday. Aaron Colvin is out with the ankle injury. Kiki Kute is out with that hamstring, the wide receiver. Zach Wilson is still out. Ryan Griffin is sick. He's out. Andre Howell's shoulder is out. He just made his got back in last week for the first time this season. Brian Peters' ankle is out, and the inside linebacker. And then the cornerback, Sharice Wright, is out. DeAndre Hopkins had limited participation, but he's expected to play. And Will Fuller, Jonathan Joseph, both nursing hip injuries, but they participated in practice. Brennan Scott and George Thomas both had groin injuries, but they had full participation. Deshaun Watson, still talking about the chest, he participated in practice. He will play tonight. And J.J. Watt, knees, I guess both of his knees, but full participation. So in terms of looking at who participated fully, who's expected to play and be out, that is the injury report as of yesterday. In terms of the Miami Dolphins, who will not play tonight, Charles Harris, the defensive end, is out. Kenny Stills, the wide receiver, who's nursing a groin injury, is also out. And quarterback Ryan Tannehill with the right shoulder. Of course, he is an Aggie. He is out. Tight end A.J. Derby is questionable, as is tight end Mike Gesicki with a shoulder injury. So there are a few folks to watch. And, you know, it's interesting because the National Football League sends out their weekly release about the week coming up and the Thursday night game. And it says first place Houston Texans host Miami Dolphins on Thursday night football. That game will be on Fox tonight. First place Houston Texans. The Houston Texans are in sole possession of first place in the AFC South, right? Because they were tied for first with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They went into Jacksonville and won that game on last Sunday. And now they are in first place with a 4-3, a 4-3 record, and going for 5 in a row tonight after getting off to a 0-3 start. So a lot to talk about as we get ready for Thursday night football here at NRG Stadium with the Houston Texans hosting the Miami Dolphins. In terms of the Houston Rockets, the Rockets have had an interesting week. They had a season-opening loss to the Pelicans. They went out to the Lakers and won on Saturday night. But in that game that they won, they lost Chris Paul for two games. It was just an unfortunate incident. And, you know, it's been a few days. Chris Paul is serving a two-game suspension, so he also sat out last night's game against Utah. He will be back for Friday's game when the Rockets play host to the Clippers at Toyota Center here in Houston. Now, the Rockets then on Sunday had a back-to-back. They played the Clippers in Los Angeles. They lost that game to the Clippers, and it was without Chris Paul. And then last night, they were back home in the Toyota Center. They played host to the Utah Jazz and lost that game 100. They only scored 89 points. Utah scored 100. So it was not a great game, obviously, for the Houston Rockets. You never want to lose in your building. But the Rockets had a quarter, the second quarter, where they only scored 15 points. Now, this is they tout a high-powered out offense. And, you know, that's one of the things that Mike D'Antoni never really worries about is his team's offense. It's the defense that you want to make sure is on track. But the offense has been, you know, they can score, right? They can score. But last night, they only shot 40% from the field and only 27% from three-point land, right? So let's look at the box score. So last night, Clint Capella only had 10 points. He had 12 rebounds. He shot 5 of 9 from the field. He had 2 assists. Michael Carter Williams, 7 points. Eric Gordon had a rough night. He was 5 of 21 from the field. He finished with 11 points. James Harden had 29 points. He had seven assists, 5 rebounds. He was 10 of 19 from the field, 3 of 4 from three. And PJ Tucker didn't shoot so well last night either. He was 2 of 9, but he does so many other things for you. He had 6 points. Off the bench, Carmelo Anthony was big. He had 22 points, was 9 of 17. That's a little bit better than 50%, was 3 of 8 from 3. And Gerald Green off the bench gave you 4 points. So the Rockets just could not seem to find their offense last night. Don't think that's going to happen a lot. On the other side, the Utah Jazz, if I could pull up their stats, Donovan Mitchell had a huge game. He always does, seems to be, against the Rockets. He had 38 points. Gobert had 12 points. They went pretty deep. Crowder had 9 points off the bench. Exum had 9 points off the bench. They had off the bench, they had 14, 23, 25, 27. They had 27 points off their bench last night. So on the other side, well, the Rockets had 26 points off the bench, but that was 22 of those points came from Carmelo Anthony. So anyway, this Rockets team is trying to find its way, trying to figure out, you know, just trying to mesh together as they get to know each other, right? As they get to know each other, they're trying to get all that together, you know, the timing, the communication. And this team, although James Harden is the MVP, and speaking of James Harden, James Harden left a little early last night because he pulled his, he had, I don't know if he pulled it, but he had a tinge, if you will, of his hamstring. So it tightened up. He had to, when you pull up, you just got to let him take a break, right? So he had 29 points, but he had to leave the game. So I think they were going to wait until the day to see. And they actually have him practice right about now. Actually, they'll be practicing shortly. So I will miss practice because I'm here with you. So I won't know until a little bit later today what's going on with James Harden in terms of his injury and if it was, if it's going to cost him any time, if he's going to have to miss any games, or if he is going to, I'm just looking, there are no more updates from the Rockets. I was just checking. So anyway, to see if he's going to have to miss any time because of that injury. All right, so takeaways from the Rockets' loss to the Jazz, including a look at Harden's hamstring and Dame D'Antoni's bright side, Carmelo Anthony's kind of breakthrough. I mean, you know Carmelo Anthony can score the ball, but to see him come through 22 points off the bench, you know, there are some who say, well, you know, he's not going to be happy off the bench, and he says he's going to do whatever it takes to win. I'm sure he would rather be in the starting lineup. I would not be surprised to see him there at some point, but that he had 22 points is a really, you know, it's good to see, right? It's good to see him kind of finding his groove in this Rockets offense. So when you see, we talk about last night's game, when you see James Harden turn to the bench and ask for a timeout, they had come down from his back, down from as much as 16 to within 5, and Harden had dropped in a short jumper and tossed the long pass to Capella. And anyway, he had a tightness in his left hamstring that grew worse. So he spent that time out kind of walking around and then went to the Rockets locker room. They seemed to be on their way to more trouble than just losses in 3 or 4 games to open the season, because you definitely don't want to, you know, you don't want to lose James Harden for any period of time. So they only had Chris Paul for games 1 and 2. He was, of course, ejected in the game against the Lakers and suspended for that exchange with Rondo. And let me just say this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that today, but Rajon Rondo, has had his share of challenges, you know, around the league, but is one heck of a basketball player, right? He is one heck of a basketball player. What just happened there? Hello? Let's see. Okay, hang on. There we go. All right, don't know how we lost, how I lost you on the screen, but I am back. Rajon Rondo in this exchange on the court during the Lakers game on Saturday night, spit in Chris Paul's face. And Chris Paul showed great restraint initially, and he did put his finger in Rajon Rondo's face, understandably. Then you see Rajon Rondo, you know, haul off of his Chris. And so Chris got suspended for 2 games. Rajon Rondo got suspended for 3, and I think Ingram 4. I thought that Rajon Rondo should have gotten a lot more games. I mean, if you spit on somebody, you got to be gone for at least 10 games, right? That should be good for at least 10 games. To me, that's just something that's unacceptable. And then later you hear, I saw Chris Broussard, who I tend to like his work, who used to be at ESPN, is now at Fox, you know, with this report where Rajon Rondo says, everyone thinks Chris Paul's a good guy, but there are people who haven't, who said he's not a good teammate. Okay. What does that have to do with the fact that you spit in a man's face? Okay, this is not about let's try to see what kind of character Chris Paul has. And there may be somebody along the way, that people who said, I don't want to play with him. But there are a whole lot of guys who say, I would like to play with him. But the issue is not about Chris Paul. The issue is that you spit in his face, and that's disgusting. And so it's not just that people believe Chris Paul more than they believe you. We saw the tape. Okay, I'm done with that. I am done talking about that incident on Saturday night. The good news is that Chris Paul will be back in the lineup on Friday night, tomorrow night at Toyota Center when they take on the Clippers. We don't know if James Harden will. I'll know more today. We'll all know more today when the Rockets practice and for some kind of update about how he's doing. And, you know, we may not know until game time tomorrow, in fact, James Harden will play. The Rockets haven't looked great without Chris Paul. You know, they have the reigning MVP, that is James Harden, but they really do miss Chris Paul on the court. So, but that's just the nature of the game. It's an early season. I mean, the Lakers started out 0-3, and people were like, oh, maybe LeBron's a problem. The Lakers won last night. That, too, is going to be a situation that's going to take some time to kind of gel, right? I'm just going to pull up and look at what else happened around the NBA last night. And, of course, the World Series is going on, right? Games 1 and 2 were played in Boston. Last night, Boston beat the Dodgers 4-2 to take a commanding 2-0 lead. Now the series moves to Los Angeles, where they will play 3 games at home, if need be, if there needs to be 5 games, you know, unless they get swept. But the Dodgers have been pretty good at home, and they've had 2 of their big bats, their sluggers, that didn't play in games 1 and 2 because, you know, when you look at all the analytics and you say, okay, well, they're throwing lefties. And anyway, we'll see what happens when the series moves to Los Angeles. So that's what happens there. So there are 4 games on the NBA schedule today. Cleveland is 0-4. They take on the Detroit Pistons, who are 3-0. Portland and Orlando face off tonight in Orlando. Portland's 2-1, Orlando's 2-2. Boston is 2-3. Oklahoma City is 0-3. Denver is 4-0, and they will play the Lakers in LA. The Lakers are 1-3. Last night, the Lakers beat Phoenix. The Lakers scored 131 points. There have been a lot of points scored to start this NBA season, and you wonder what that is. What is that going to mean moving forward in terms of what we can expect? Will this just be a super high-scoring offensive season? Last night, Milwaukee scored 123 points in their win over Philadelphia. The Lakers scored 131 points in their win over Phoenix. Phoenix scored 113 in that loss. Golden State scored 144 points as they beat the Wizards. The Wizards scored, when you score 122 points, you're supposed to win the ball game, right? The Wizards scored 122 points and lost to Golden State. Now, the big story, of course, in terms of offense in that game last night is Steph Curry. He scored 51 points. He was 15 of 24 from the field. He's let 11 of 16 from three-point line, and he was 10 of 10, perfect, from the foul stripe. 51 points. How about that? 51 points. So if that's any indication of what you can expect to see this season. You know, the day before, which is the night before that Blake Griffin had 50 points, and I guess it was like, oh wait, let me toss in my points. I wanted to give you the line on Golden State last night. So Curry had 51. Kevin Durant had 30. Klay Thompson had 19. And then Draymond Green had 5, and Jones had 5. But you had 81 points from your backcourt. 81 points. The Rockets, as a team last night, only scored 89. They weren't playing the Warriors, so it's, you know, apples and oranges. And then off the bench, they got 16, 23, 28, 32. They got 32 points off the bench. But this Golden State team, pretty good, right? I'm trying to look at the – so they shot – almost 58% from the field, all right? And they shot a little better than 45% from 3 points. They took 92 shots. Washington took 93 shots, but it's just how many more Golden State made. They had more assists. Golden State had 37 assists to Washington's 22, and they out-rebounded the Wizards 48-34. So I was just trying to see, they had more turnovers, you know, they had 3 more turnovers than Washington, but they also had more block shots. But the key was really, and they beat them on the boards, and they moved, they had better ball movement, clearly, and they outscored them, 144-122. So there have been some high-scoring games to start the season. And we'll just see what that means, if they're going to break any kind of records this year in terms of offensive production around the NBA. That was tonight. That was last. So these are the games I mentioned tonight. There are 4 games tonight. And then tomorrow night, there's a lot. There's a full slate of games. You know, the Lakers and Clippers. The Clippers and Rockets play at 7 here at Toyota Center. But that's tomorrow. Tonight at 7:20, it's the Rockets. It's the Dolphins and the Texans. And it looks like, oh yeah, I would be remiss if I did not mention that Brock Osweiler will be back in NRG Stadium tonight, and he will get the start against the Texans because Ryan Tannehill is injured. So it'll be Osweiler's first start at NRG Stadium since he was kind of ousted from the Texans a couple seasons ago. He gets the start, and yeah. So I think that it looks like Osweiler's thrown about 600 plus yards in the last 2 games. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he does against this Texans defense and how he does back at NRG Stadium. What's really going to be interesting is that, you know, it's a different system that he plays in. And this is, you know, the Dolphins are 4-3, right? Also, they trailed the New England Patriots by 1 game in the AFC East, and the Texans are 4-3, and they've won 4 in a row. So it should be an interesting game tonight, right? It should be an interesting game tonight. Clowney had one of his more dominating games of the season where he put up 7 tackles, 2 sacks, 4 quarterback hits, 2 tackles for a loss, and a fumble recovery against the Jaguars last week. Clowney was – listen, those are great numbers, but if you really watch the games, Clowney has been playing really well all season. But last week was pretty – was really impressive. And also last week we saw Whitney Mercilus get to be more involved in the action. So we saw Whitney Mercilus – also kind of feeling his way and getting his timing down and making a little bit of noise. So this Texans defense, which is, you know, clearly really good. And we will see how this offense continues to play and how Deshaun Watson looks. He continues to have his health improve, and even with his current state of injuries, is expected to start tonight. As I mentioned when I read the injury report earlier, he had a full participation in practice the last couple of days, and is expected to, you know, play tonight. It's not even listed really on the list on the injury list. As for the Houston defense, we'll see what they do. Are they going to do give Osweiler a lot of zone looks? Will he get a lot of blitzing, you know? But it should be a good game. I imagine the Texans will work to make the Dolphins beat them in the air instead of on the ground, and which means they'll force Osweiler to throw the ball a lot, and we'll see what happens. So game time's tonight at 7:20. All right, so before I go, we have to talk. I haven't even talked about this. You know, it's voting season. It's midterm elections. I voted Tuesday. I didn't vote the first day of early voting. I went, but I didn't vote because I got there too late, because it was right at 4:30. The line was outside around the building. I was willing to stand in it, but they stopped the line at 4:30. If you were in line by 4:30, you got to vote. It was probably about an hour line at least. So I went back the next day, Tuesday, to make sure that I got my vote in. So wherever you live, make sure you vote. If your state has early voting, I encourage you to get out and vote early. Don't be discouraged. Make sure you have, depending on what state you live in, your ID or whatever it is you need to vote, so that you won't have any issues or hassles, because there is a lot of voter suppression happening around the country. So I would say to you, make sure that you are prepared. I'm just reminding you to please share the video. If you're watching the replay, I ask that you please share the video. And if you're watching it live, I ask if you will please share the video as well. So as always, thank you so much for being a part of Chalk Talk. I'm actually going to be able to get out today on time. My goal is every week to get out at 11:30 so that we can have more people that watch the show live. Although we have people that watch the replay over the next few days, I love it when we have live guests and we can have that live interaction. So thank you for that. Make sure you share the video and follow me on social media. You're obviously on my Facebook page, but make sure you hit the following button so that you will get updates about this show and other things happening. Follow me on Twitter, @KimYDavis on Twitter. You'll get updates. You can follow my tweets tonight from the game, from the Texans game, tomorrow from the Rockets game. On Saturday, Texas Southern University has their homecoming. They're playing an afternoon game. I'll be at that game. If you're in Houston or the Houston area, it should be fabulous weather. If you are a PB alum or fan, they also have their homecoming on Saturday. It should be beautiful weather in the Houston area, and I imagine also PB, which is only about 45 minutes away. Get out and support your college football teams this weekend. I encourage you to watch Texas Southern University and Prairie View this weekend. Support them in their homecoming. And those of you who are TSU alums, can y'all leave the tailgate and go to the game? I mean, the fact that you hang out on campus and don't go to the game on homecoming is just beyond me, right? I know that's your tradition, but you got to get over and support your football team. So make it to the game, but get out and support the universities this weekend. And make sure that you vote. Be careful. Be vigilant. Watch what's going on around you. We've seen the news this week about packages going in the mail that could have potential explosives in them. Just keep your eyes open. Don't be paranoid, but pay attention to what's happening around you. If you see something that looks suspicious, if you see a package, some of these packages that they've been talking about the last 24 hours, 36 hours or so, call somebody. Call the authorities. Don't try to be a hero or a heroine. Make sure that you call the authorities if you see something that looks suspicious. Don't waste people's time, but if you see something that looks suspicious, it's much better to be safe than to be sorry later. As always, thank you so much for being a part of Chalk Talk. Have a great, great week. I will be talking to you more about the Astros, because it's officially postseason, and they had their postseason, A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow, the manager and general manager, the postseason press conference on Monday, talking about just kind of some thoughts about the offseason. One thing that has already happened, Jose Altuve had surgery on his knee to get that cleaned out so that he can, and they expect that he'll be fully recovered and ready for spring training, for the start of spring training. which is only a few months away. It's the end of October right now, and in February we'll be heading to spring training. So again, thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of Chalk Talk. Share the video. Make sure you do something kind for yourself and something kind for somebody else. Go out and vote. Make it a great week. I'll see you next Wednesday on Chalk Talk. All right, everybody. That's a wrap for this week's show. I'll see you next Wednesday on Chalk Talk. Make sure that you follow me on Twitter at Kim Y. Davis, on Facebook, Kim Davis and Kim Y. Davis, and on Instagram at kim.y.davis. Have a great, great week and a great weekend. Texans and Dolphins tonight at NRG Stadium. Have a great week, everybody. See you next week. Wednesday.